This morning we're going to start our journey with a little bit of a quiz. I'm going to mention or have on the screen several words or product or whatever, and you got to tell me what the commonality between these words are. So let's come up with the first one: a Scotty dog, a top hat, a thimble, a boot, a wheelbarrow, a cannon, a race car, a battleship, and an iron. Monopoly game, yeah, Monopoly game pieces, right? The pieces of the game of Monopoly, right? Okay, so how about the second one? Almost, accent, biopsy, effort, and 40. This is a little harder. I throw a hard one in there. Here it is. It's their letters are all in alphabetical order. All right. How about the Winnebago, Cherokee, Tobacco, Mobile, and Navajo? Campers, yeah, no, it's not it, but maybe so, I don't know. But anybody got an idea what the commonality of those words are? They are Native American tribes, right? Native American tribes, names of Native American tribes. How about this? Alice, Rhoda, Mannix, Lucy, Laverne, and Shirley. Yeah, TV shows of the 1970s, right? TV shows of the 1970s and thereabouts in that era, right? How about this? Rudder, spark, fire, spring, untamed, freshwater, saltwater. Here's the answer to that. Words the Bible compares the human tongue to. So here we go. In the book of James, it says this. Reading from the book of James. Take a ship for an example, he said. Although they are large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder. A very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. It has great power. Continuing in James, it says this, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, setting the whole course of his life on fire and itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals and birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is restless, evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, verses 9 and 11, with the tongue we praise the Lord and Father. And with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God, God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursings. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? The power of the tongue. James is trying to communicate to his audience, there is power in your tongue. Let me compare it to a fire, a spark. Let me compare it to a rudder. Let me tell you that it's untamed. Let me tell you that it has power. There's power in the tongue. Power in the spoken word. That's what it's referring to. We know that. It's not just the organ in our mouth. It's what it does, what it can do. There's power in our tongue. Each person in this room will speak somewhere between 12 and 30,000 words a day. That means in 2020, and you get an extra day because it's leap year, so you get an extra 20 or 30,000 words this year. Powerful words. That means that you'll speak between 4.4 and 10.9 million words will be spoken by each one of us here in 2020. The power of the spoken word, the power of the tongue. It's a rudder, it's a spark, it's fresh water, it is salt water, it's the spring. Out of it comes life, or out of it comes death. How can you use your tongue to do one thing and then do another? There is power in the tongue. We speak to each other. We speak to our friends, and we speak to our kids, and we speak to our spouse, and we speak to our parents, and we are speaking to our coworkers, and we are speaking to each other. We are speaking to our world. 10 million words, which is equal to 100 novels. This year, you will write 100 novels by the words that come out of your mouth. The power of the spoken word. The power of the word. And James compares it to these things that can steer monstrous things under strong winds and mighty storms. But yet it can steer it through those things. And understanding that it has so much power that man can't tame it. It takes God to tame your tongue. And you will be speaking 10 million words. You'll be writing 100 novels, average novels, this year with your tongue. With the power of the word, the power of the spoken word, and perhaps another several million words we will speak to ourselves. Proverbs 18:21 says this, the tongue has power of life and death. And so I ask the question, that tells me, how does it get that much power? How does the spoken word get that much power? How does the spoken word get so much power that it's compared to a fire, compared to a rudder, compared to the mighty things that are steering things in this world? How does it get the power? I ended up in Psalm 29 this week, and it says this in verses 1 and 2. Ascribe to the Lord, or give credit to God as the cause. That's what the word ascribe means. Give credit to something as cause. This is what causes this. Ascribe to the Lord, he says. Give God the credit for this. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe, give God the credit, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory. And the word glory is honor, abundance, and dignity. Give God the credit as the source of abundance, of dignity, of honor. Give God that credit. He is the source of that. He is the cause of that. Give God, you mighty ones, you children of God, you heavenly hosts, ascribe to the Lord the glory. Ascribe to the glory, the Lord, the ability to have honor and abundance and dignity. Ascribe to the Lord strength or force and security and power. Recognize God as the force, the security and the power and the honor and the dignity and the abundance. Ascribe to the Lord those things. He is the cause of those things. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in splendor and His holiness. Ascribe to the Lord holiness, or purity and wholeness, completeness. God is the source of those things. O mighty ones, recognize that God is the source of those things. But then it goes on to say in verses 3 through 9, the phrase, the voice of the Lord, is repeated 7 times in those next few verses. And as we interact with it, God, who is the cause of all these things, the cause of glory and honor and abundance, the cause of power, the cause of strength, the cause of security, the cause of holiness, the cause of purity, the cause of completeness, the cause of holiness. And then the psalmist goes right into speaking about the voice of the Lord. So I'm trying to answer. Just hold on this morning. I don't want to confuse us. This morning, I want to know how the spoken word got so much power. So hang with me, because the journey might be a little weedy between here and there. But what I'm answering this morning is, how did my spoken word get so much power that it's compared to a fire that can consume a whole forest? How did my spoken word get so much power that it's compared to a rudder of a ship, even though the strong winds are against it? How did it get that kind of power? And I think Psalm 29 is going to help us. And he's starting off, ascribe God is the source of these things. God is the source of holiness. God is the source of glory. God is the source of abundance. But then he goes on, he says, I want to talk to you about the word of the Lord. I want to talk to you about the voice of God. If the voice of the Lord has such power, then the words uttered with that voice have the same strength and authority, has been said. It's not just, oh, God is speaking. God is speaking with power into our world. And we experience the voice of God. He said, how do I know that God is the source? Because he speaks it and it comes into existence. He doesn't have to find it somewhere. His voice has power. His words have power. And we can go back to Genesis and we know that. And God says, and let there be light, and there was light. He just didn't growl or groan. He said, let there be light. And he spoke it out of nothing into existence. That's power in the voice of God. Let there be an expanse, and let the water under the sky be gathered, and let the dry ground appear. God is saying one thing after another, and it's happening. Because he's speaking it. His voice has power. And still, hang with me. I want to know how my voice got such power and your voice got such power, because James isn't only speaking to me. He's speaking to us. But I want to know about the power of the voice of the Lord. And then I want to somehow tie those strings together and say, is that the source of my power? How did I get such power? I can see and I agree that God has power. I can agree and I don't even question that the Lord said, let there be light, and there was light. But what about my voice? How can my voice, how can my spoken word have such power? Hang with us. I want to answer that question. And I think if you give me another two or three pages of notes, we'll get there. And don't worry. In the end, the last Sunday of this year, I'm going to ask us how we're doing on this. We know that the voice of the Lord has power. Listen to what the psalm continues to say through Psalm 29. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. Don't you love that? The God of abundance thunders. The God of provision thunders. The God of glory thunders. He's over the waters. The storm must be running rampant in the psalmist's life. But he said, yet I could still hear the voice of the Lord, because the voice of the Lord is more powerful than the storm that's in my life. That's what he's saying. He's trying to understand the power of the voice of the word of the Lord. He's trying to understand that. And he's saying, no, wait a minute, I heard God in the storm. I've heard God in the storm. That means the storm doesn't have power over God. Because the word of the Lord, see, I still want to know how I got such power in my word. But I think if I'm going to understand that, I've got to understand the power of God in his word. We're going to get there, hang on. But understand right now that the voice of the Lord is more powerful than any storm you're in. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The glory of God thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty water. If you didn't hear it the first time, the psalmist said, let me say it again. It thunders. Oh, you didn't hear it two times. Let me say it again. The thunder, he thunders over the waters. He thunders over the mighty waters. Oh, you didn't hear. Let me tell you again. He thunders over the water. Oh, let me tell you again. He thunders over the water. Oh, he thunders over the mighty water. He can speak to you in the storm. God's voice, God's word is powerful. The psalmist is learning that. The spoken word can be spoken and can be heard by us in the most anxious, stormy times of our life. Push the button, please. The spoken word has piercing power. continuing in the psalm. The voice of the Lord is powerful, he says. The powerful, the force. It's force. The word of the Lord carries a force with it. It's not some kind of stick that has a light change coming off the end of it. It's real force. And force is something that pushes something through another. It's a force. The word of the Lord is strong, but it's a force. I just think of two things when I think of when it's powerful or it's a force. The word of the Lord is piercing. The word of the Lord is powerful. The word of the Lord is a force to be reckoned with. Can you imagine in creation? God said, let there be light and let there be this. And then what did he do? He said, let there be an expanse between the two. Let the waters gather over here and the water. Can you imagine some in the land saying, no, thank you? It had no choice. It listened because God's word has force. It's not only over the waters, but now it can penetrate in and separate the waters for you and your life. It's powerful. The word of the Lord is powerful. Continuing in the psalm, the voice of the Lord is majestic. And that word majestic simply means beautiful. Do you see what the word of the Lord is? It can meet you in your darkest hour in its force, but it's beautiful. That to me is incredible that God can be all those things. And beautiful. So when I hear this forcing, piercing word of the Lord, somehow it's beautiful. It's majestic. It touches me in my soul and in my heart. It speaks to the depths of who I am. The word of the Lord is majestic. The word of the Lord is powerful. The word of the Lord is piercing. I understand the word of the Lord. I'm beginning to understand. I don't know if I've experienced it all yet, but I'm still trying to get to the fact of how did my tongue, how did my spoken word get to the level of a runner, a spark, a fire. That says in Proverbs that it speaks both life and death. I understand that God gets that right. I understand that God has that ability. I understand it's more about God in this case than I do about how did I get there? How did I get the privilege or the honor to have such a powerful, and I'm not talking about John, it's just me. How did we get there? 10 million words you're going to speak this year. Unless you're quiet and kind of reserved, then it's only 5 million. So you're either going to write 100 novels or 50 novels, but you're going to be a novel writer. And the word of the Lord is majestic. The word of the Lord is beautiful. The word of the Lord is piercing. The word of the Lord, the voice of the Lord in 5 and 6 says, breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, Syria like a young wild ox. Cedars are the strongest in that environment, strongest and deepest rooted trees. Do you see what's happening here? The psalmist is starting to realize not only does God pierce into that storm of my life, and not only as it has a great force, and not only as is it beautiful, but now it's going down to the strongest, deepest rooted things in my life, and it's doing something down there. It's down into the cedars of Edgeleth, down into the heart, and those things that got their roots stuck in me. They have been growing in my life for years and years and years. And he said, the voice of the Lord can do something with those. The voice, the spoken word has destroying and crushing power. And we always think that's a negative thing. And maybe we can think of different words that would feel more positive. But I'm telling you what, a past sin or a past something in my life that needs to be torn down. It needs to be destroyed. And when God shows up in my life and he begins to root it and destroy it and to crush it, it frees me from that. The voice of the Lord has destroying and crushing power. Verse 7 says, the voice of the Lord strikes with a flash of lightning. I got struck by lightning once. I've either lived, I don't know, an unlucky life or... But my dad and I were out fixing fence, and we were fixing fence one moment, and the next moment I was about 15, 18 feet away on my back looking at the sky. The lightning had come down and struck and just picked me up in the air and just threw me across the field. It happened in the very moment. It struck like lightning. He said, the voice of the Lord strikes and flashes like lightning. The voice of the Lord can cause instant results in our life. See, it takes a while, I think, to destroy and crush. And he said, oh, wait a minute, sometimes it's instant. Sometimes you're building fence one moment and you're on your back 20 feet away the next moment. You know what I was doing the next moment? On my feet running to the house with everything I had left. Smoke still rolling out my ears. And he says, got a flash like a flashing lightning. He can cause, the spoken word can cause instant results. He can speak it. It didn't take a season. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Bang, it was there. The spoken word can cause instant results. The verse 8 says, the voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord brings life to a desolate place. Can you imagine in John 11, if Jesus had not said in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. That's all he said. In a dead, desolate place called a grave, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out. Sometimes I think, oh, I know God will do that, but it's going to take him like 3 weeks or 4 weeks or five lifetimes or something to do that. Because it took me like 6 years to get into it. It's going to take God 6 or 7 years to get me out of it. God says, I can speak it out of you. It took Lazarus 40 plus years to die. And he come to life in one word of the Lord. He said, I can bring life to the deserts of Kadesh. The spoken word contains life. I'm getting an understanding of the voice of the Lord and the word of the Lord, but I'm still struggling a little bit with how our voices get so much power that they're compared to a fire and a rudder that can steer a big ship. They can be a spring or salt water or can praise God or can curse man. A spoken word contains life. Verse 9 says, the voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry, abundance! I love that when we start to hear what glory means. Can you imagine, and we can say glory. Can you just imagine screaming out, abundance! When God sets us free, we can say glory! But I want to say abundance! Freedom! And they shout glory! Because the voice of the Lord did a mighty work in their life. It stripped the oaks and stripped the forest. The voice of the Lord clears the way. The spoken word clears the way. And listen, I would like to go and just really just dive into each one of these pieces. And maybe we will over the weeks to come. But we got to know that the voice of the Lord is powerful. And somehow, some way, he has enlisted us to carry some of that power in our spoken word. The 10 million words you'll speak this year. And some of you know that the voice has power because you can still remember what somebody said to you, good or bad. The voice of the Lord clears the way. Verses 10 and 11, the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. I just love that part because guess what? He's not going away. He sits as king forever. So his voice, his word is not going away. It's always going to pierce. It's always going to be beautiful. It's always going to be a force. It's always going to clear the way. It's always going to do what the voice of the Lord does. God, how did you give me such power? The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. And staying with the thought of the passage, I was just wondering if the Lord gives strength and he blesses his people as a result of speaking in their life. So the spoken word is very personal. God's going to speak to you and to you. Isn't that amazing? The power and the piercing ability and all and the beauty and very personal. God, I thank you. How did I get it? Why did you entrust us with it, God? The spoken word has piercing power. The spoken word is a force to be reckoned with. The spoken word is a thing of beauty. The spoken word has destroying and crushing power. The spoken word can cause instant results. The spoken word contains life. The spoken word clears the way, and the spoken word is personal. But look what else he said in Genesis. And God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Oh. I have a feeling this week I learned that the voice of the Lord that I have, my power of the spoken word that we have, and the 10 million words that we'll speak this year is because we're made and created in the likeness of God. God said, I have given you that power. I have given you the power of the spoken word. Careful with it. Be careful what you say. Be careful how you speak those 10 million words this year. Because they have power. Because you're created in the likeness of me, God says. And they have power. Because you are created in the likeness of me. All of a sudden, I'm starting to see the thread that goes from the power of the Lord to humanity. The power of the spoken word is part, I am convinced, is part of the likeness of God. However, God never operates from sin environment. I do. But I want to realize something. God doesn't take the power out of the spoken word. We can destroy what is good with our mouth. We can burn up what is good with our mouth. God says, listen, I believe this with all my heart, especially after this week of study. I am not taking the power out of your words. That's part of my likeness in you. But you need to be a steward of that. be careful what you say, because they're powerful words. James reminds us of this. My brothers, and this is the end of, hey, it's a rudder, it's a fire. It's salt water, it curses, or it's spring water. Refreshes, brings life or death. My brothers and sisters and new lifers, can a fig tree bear olives? That's not a scientific question, that's a rhetorical question. The answer is, no. Or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. But I'm telling us right now, it'll produce water. Are you with me this morning? Be careful what we say, because the power of the spoken word that is in God, it's in us, because we're in the likeness of God. Some of us need our tongues tamed by God. Because you're using and I'm using the power of God, and we're destroying what is good. Because God doesn't take the power out of the word. He takes the salt out of the person. So that we can speak fresh water to each other, and to our families, and to our spouses, and to our wives, and to our children, and to our friends, and to our loved ones, and to each other. That we can speak fresh water into each other, not salt water into each other. We need to have the salt taken out of us, God. Oh, God, help us not speak what is right. That will happen when the salt gets out of us. The water's coming out, he said, because the water is the word of the Lord. But when it gets mixed with salt, it's going to bring destruction, because it still carries the power. We're the only created entities that have been made in the likeness of God. And we're the only created entities that have the power to speak. Let me end. Your words have piercing power. Are you with me this morning? We're almost done. But you got to know this morning that your words have piercing power. Your words can be heard over the storm. Why? Because you're made in the likeness of God. And he's given you that ability. He's not taking that out of you. He's expecting us to be a steward of that gifting. Your words have piercing power. Your words are a force to be reckoned with. Your words and my words are a thing of beauty. It's a girl. Aren't you glad you get to say that? Right? It was pink cake, right?
It was pink cake.
All right. They're having a girl, May. I saw pink cake on Facebook. And I heard you say, it's a girl. Wow. What a beautiful spoken word. That's because it's the ability for God gave you to speak that. What else are we doing with our 10 million words? They have destroying and crushing power. Will you destroy and crush what's in your family's way, or will you destroy and crush your family? God is not taking our power, but he will cleanse us from the salt that's in the spring. Your words and my words can cause instant results. Your words and my words contain life. Your words and my words can clear the way. Your words and my words are personal. You have the power of the spoken word, because you're made in the likeness of God. How will you spend your 10 million words this year? I want to speak life into people. You're amazing. God loves you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God's got you all the way through 19 surgeries. He hears your cry. He sees you. The voice of the Lord is powerful. And you and I are made in the likeness of God. Therefore, your words are powerful. What will you do with them? 10 million this year. What will you do with your words? Stand with me today. God, thank you for the voice of the Lord, the spoken word. When you said, let there be light, or you said, let us create man in our image. When you spoke my name, when you told me you loved me, when you told me that you cared about me, and then I get to see that, I get to hear that from my kids, I get to hear that from my wife, I get to hear that from the friends in this room, I get to hear the encouraging words, I get to hear the prayers of the people for us, for each other, I get to hear the power. Lord, help us to know that our words carry life and death. Our words are powerful. Not only be a good steward of them, but that's using them in the power of God. Let's expect the power of God to show up even as we speak. Some of us will speak and the devil will be gone. And because we are created in the likeness of God and because your power and your word, we have power and he will leave. Some of us will say, heal. Some of us will have the power. All of us have the power of the word of God. God, thank you for that. We're going out of here in just a few moments. I'm going to say amen, and we're all going to get and pick up our stuff, and we're going to walk out this door with 10 million words in our bag. God, I pray against us being salt water. Cleanse us from the salt so that spring water and water that gives life flows out of us in our spoken word. And in Jesus' name, amen. Have an amazing day.